We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Avner Craig inviting you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will make our service a blessing to you. We're opening our service with a selection, God is Still Mindful. Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of sharing this broadcast service with this precious people today. We're trusting that the Holy Spirit will be able to use us a vessel that we might be a blessing to our congregation. We are thankful for Your love for each and every one, And you see everyone that's listening to our broadcast today, and we pray the blessings of Almighty God to be upon them. We ask also for your help as we endeavor to bring forth a message of truth that we trust will bless hearts, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our subject for today's broadcast, four things Paul said he knew. And our text of Scripture is 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul was born around 1 to 5 AD in Tarsus, which is part of Turkey today. His parents were Pharisees and raised Paul a Pharisee. They were Hebrews, but were also Roman citizens. Paul was of the tribe of Benjamin, and at the age of 13, he was sent to Jerusalem to learn from the Rabbi Gamaliel, one of the finest teachers, if not the finest teacher, to be found in Jerusalem. And his education was to be continued for 5 or 6 years. Now, his faith as a Pharisee did not allow for compromise of what he believed. And he persecuted the Church of God, the disciples of Christ, and he stood there, and they laid their clothes at his feet when they stoned Stephen. And on his way to Damascus to arrest any disciples of Christ there and bring them back to Jerusalem, put in jail, he met the Lord Jesus on the way, and he was struck down by a great light, and he heard a voice, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who is it, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." And we understand that there on the Damascus road, the Apostle Paul was converted, and he became one of the greatest apostles of the New Testament time. Now, Paul did not claim to know everything after he was converted. He was mistaken when he defended his Pharisaical religion, and he said he did it in innocence or in ignorance, and that is one reason why Paul went into Arabia, was to learn truth and to unlearn some things that he had been taught which were not correct. So let us think about four things that Paul said he knew. First of all, in our text, "I know whom I have believed." Please notice, he did not say, "I know what I believe," but he said, "I know whom I have believed." So Paul speaks of a person. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the perpetuation or the atonement for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So Paul had a personal knowledge, a personal acquaintance with the Lord Jesus Christ after he was converted there on the way to Damascus. And he also says that he knows that God is able to keep us or to save us and be our own perpetuator, he was the one who paid the atoning price for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And that's 1 John chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. So if we really do know the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to show it, we're going to prove it by keeping his commandments, by doing those things that are pleasing and acceptable in his sight. We know he is able to save and save to the uttermost. No, the Bible does not teach, and the Apostle Paul did not teach, a sin you must religion, that we sin more or less every day in word, deed, and thought. No, Paul did not teach that. He taught that we know that the Christ is able to deliver us, able to save us to the uttermost. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Paul knew Christ could keep, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And again, that's our text of Scripture today. But notice that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. The only way that the Lord can keep you or me is for us to commit ourselves to the Lord. If we are determined to have our own way and to go our own way, then the Lord cannot keep us. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And he that is led by the Spirit of God is the Son of God. And so Paul said that the Lord is able to keep that which we have committed unto him. So surrender your heart and life to the Lord, and he will keep you. For Jesus, I say, to be able to keep you, you must first commit yourself to him. Now the second point, Paul knew all things work together for good. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Paul did not say that everything that goes on in the world is for good, because there's a lot of evil, a lot of wicked things, a lot of ungodly things that are going on in the world. But if we are a child of God, committed to the will of God, the Lord is able to make all things that pertain to us and to our life come out for the good in the end. Job suffered many things, but in the end, he had more fair daughters and children than before. He had more riches than before, and God brought him through those severe trials and tests that he suffered. But Paul says all things work together for good to them that love God, those who are committed to God and living for God and have surrendered their life to the Lord. The Lord can take a bad thing and make some good come out of it for the saints of God. Paul had many bad things happen to him, but this is what he said about that. I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. Even temptations can work to our good. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. A temptation can help us to grow in our Christian experience if we face it and overcome it as we should. Also, corrections works to our good. For we read in the Scriptures, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. So chastisement is for our good. The Lord won't chastise us for doing what is right. It's whenever we make a mistake and he sees we need to be corrected. And that correction or that chastisement is good for us. Now, number 3, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Yes, there is a terror on the side of the Lord. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. I know God is love, and we preach God is love, but we must not neglect the other side of God. God is just and God is right. a God of wrath, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. 2 Corinthians 5:10 and 11. The flood came because of the evil, the wickedness, the ungodliness of the people. Their very thoughts and imagination were evil continually. And Noah, being a preacher of righteousness, warned them and tried to get them to change their way. If they had a sufficient number changed and turned to God, he doubtless would have spared the world and there wouldn't have been a flood. But they would not heed Noah's preaching, and God sent the flood, and only Noah and his family were saved in the ark. Also, we think of Sodom and Gomorrah and those two angels that arrived there at the gate that evening were going to spend the time out in the street. And Lot said, "No, no, come on in my house." And after he brought those men in his house, then the people gathered around the door demanding that Lot bring them out, those two men out, so that they could know them. And you know what they mean by the word know them. And God saw the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he sent fire upon them because of their wickedness and their ungodliness. And we read in the scriptures about two of Aaron's sons. They tried to take Aaron's place and put fire there and to burn incense, but it was wildfire, and the Lord struck them dead there at the entrance of the tabernacle. And they were put to death because they did that which was wrong. We also read about a man, Herod, who the Sidons and the Sidons were at odds with him, and they came down to Caesarea to try to make peace with him. And he made a great speech, great oration, and they said, "This is the voice of a God." And Herod took credit to himself, and God smote him with worms, and he died because he did not give God the credit. To you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You read that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. Then shall he say unto them on the left-hand side, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so we need to remember God is not only a God of love, but he is a God of wrath, and Paul knew that. Now the fourth thing we know, or Paul knew, we have a building of God eternal in the heavens, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So we read in 2 Corinthians 5 and 1. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34. And in the Lord's Prayer, John 17, verse 24, Jesus prayed to the Father, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou gavest me. And beloved, that was a prayer Jesus prayed to the Father so that we could be with him. And where is he? Well, when Stephen was being stoned to death, he looked up and he saw Jesus at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And so Jesus prayed for those who do what is right and those who are on the right hand side of the judgment, that they be with him and be with him eternally. Yes, I believe there is a hell, and I believe there is a heaven, and I believe that we must make the choice of how we're going to live and where we will go come eternity. Do you know you are saved today? You can, by repenting of and by forsaking your sins. Do you know that your name is in the book of life? It'll be there if you give your heart and life to the Lord. And you can know you're saved, and you can know that your name is in the Lamb's book of life. Father, bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We trust the thoughts that we have brought to you and the songs have been a blessing. If so, why not let us know? Our mailing address, the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net, our email address. Our fax number, 301-739-7173. 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. You can read our monthly magazine there on our webpage, and you can also listen to a previous broadcast if you missed any or like to hear one over again. And our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. Also, our services are broadcast live over the internet. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11. Our Sunday evening service begins at 6. And our midweek service begins at 7 on Wednesday evening. And you're invited to be with us. www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin and Craig. Thank you for being with us today. And we invite you to be with us next week when we bring you another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the Lord's blessings abide upon each and every one of you, is our prayer.
I wasn't there by the shores of Galilee when Jesus touched those blinded eyes and made them